And now,
Josh, I don't know if you follow our man Sean Strickland on social media, but he always comes up with some interesting things. And just recently, kind of sat down in his car just before going to training and basically was telling people that, you know what, he kind of has this feeling like, you know, he's always, you know, creating problems and doing these things and not too sure. And sometimes, you know, mental health issues, doesn't remember things. Dave, do me a favor. Can you play the that little piece by Sean that he put out?
Yo, what up, guys? Man, all week I've been fucked up, dude. I've been on the Twitter saying crazy shit, just fucking spiraling. I woke up and I told my girl, I was like, you know, babe, I feel like I'm a danger to people. Like, I don't feel like I should be out in the world, you know? And I think that, you know, I have everything. I'm rich, I'm famous, like, I have everything I've ever fucking wanted, and I still immensely unwell. And I get in these, like, mindsets to where, like, I want to burn everything down the world. Like, I want to have nothing so I can just fucking lose it and just take out everything on people, you know? And I think that, like, you guys, in a weird way, are like my family. Like, I've shared some shit with you guys, and you guys have shared some shit with me that, like, I feel more connected with my fans than I think most people feel, just because we've gone through a lot together. And, man, you know, I have everything I want, dude, and I still struggle with mental health, you know? And my memory is so short that, like, when I've gone through this week, I think to myself, like, once I get past it, I think to myself, oh, man, like, that was a really rough time in my life. But then when I really think about it, this happens multiple times a month, every month, you know? And, again, I don't even know why I'm telling you guys this. I've just been kind of going through some shit. I'm fine. I'll be fine. I'm going to go train right now and try to hurt all my friends, and all the demons will go away. I just want you guys to know that I have everything I could ever want in the world, and I still struggle. So whatever you guys are going through, man, hope you all feel better. Go to the gym, train. Fucking wish you all the best.
Now, a lot of people are going to look at that. He's reaching out. He needs a helping hand. And I think maybe it's true, but I also think that he's kind of reaching out and trying to give a helping hand to others that, hey, you're not alone. Everyone's got these problems.
I want to say it was Puff Daddy said it. More money, more problems.
Yeah. More fame, more money, more problems.
I mean, you take a look across the board, whether it's Hollywood, whether it's athletes, doesn't matter. The more money you have, the problems don't go away. They just intensify. Yeah. I can't tell you how many people that I know that are multimillionaires. I know a couple billionaires, and their kids are so fucked up because they got so much shit that they don't need. And we talked about this on the midweek show, is that we have gotten so attached to chasing money, or gotten so attached to our cell phones and our iPads and everything else, that we've disconnected from the outside world. Fishing, playing basketball and sports, being multi-sport athletes, doing things that are fun. We forgot what that was like. I mean, for you, you live on a farm, so you're playing shit all day. So that's fun.
Oh, yeah. I was playing with barbed wire all day long. I got cuts everywhere.
But he said exactly, look, he's rich. He's famous. He's got 2.1 million followers just on Instagram. I mean, he says some wild and crazy stuff. He just says what's on his mind. And look, that's okay. I think the reality of it, though, is not the reality, but what happens is it goes on is, he gets into the gym, and all of his cares, they go out the door once he walks into that gym. That gym is your home, freedom. John.
It's freedom.
There's nothing more free about walking in there and seeing every familiar face that you know. And understanding that they're all going to be there tomorrow. They're all going to be there the next day. And they all have bled in that room. They've all sweat in that room. You guys have all beat the shit out of each other. There's a mutual respect there for each other. And I would be willing to bet that at 3 a.m, if he was to call, at least a handful of them would get their asses up and come help him.
Yep.
You know, look, just because you have money and just because you're famous doesn't mean all your problems go away. They're still there. And majority of the time, they're more intense problems because there's money involved, because there's more consequences of you potentially being put on TMZ or you being put on on MMA media being talked about in certain ways. It brings more negative stuff to you. And he brings some of the negativity to himself, you know, by the things that he says. But speaking his mind, I'm never going to speak. I'm never going to tell someone not to, to speak freely. That's what's great about this country. Like, you have that amendment right to go ahead and do that. Speak whatever it is, but don't change it when you don't want it to be spoken about you. You've got to go ahead and take it. You've got to take it. Yeah. If you deliver it, you got to be able to take it too when it's delivered to you.
Well, if you're going to speak your truth, don't be upset when someone speaks theirs. That's just the way it is.
The overall picture that I get about Sean is that I agree with you, John. I think that he was letting everyone know that just because I'm rich, just because I'm famous, just because I'm an athlete, just because I'm all these things, I go through the same thing you guys go through. And so just buckle down and do whatever it is you got to do to get through the day. And I've tried to say this, someone who has come through a lot when it comes to dealing with family members, personal health, mental health stuff, is that whether it's suicide or whatever the problems are in your life, it's only a temporary problem. Like it could be the next day. It could be a couple days down the road. It's a temporary problem, you know, and you can make changes. You know, you may need a little help getting there, but like you can make changes, and it's not going to last forever. It doesn't have to last forever, I should say. So just, you've got to be able to rely on one or two people that you can call at any moment and say, hey, how can I get out of this? Or, yeah, you know, what any suggestions you can give me, whatever it is. But the availability is there. And so I think Sean is one of those guys. I think he understands what he needs to potentially do. And for him, it's going to the gym. That's his therapy. His therapy is punching people in the face. His therapy is being around the group of people in Extreme Couture's and being around his teammates, his coaches. I understand, man. For 22 years, I was in the gym like a fucking rat, just a gym rat. Just loved it. Never wanted to leave. You know, I'd be there until 9, 10 o'clock at night, you know? And then even when I was done at 9 or 10 o'clock at night, I'd be like, hey, Hob, you want to go have dinner?
Still hanging out.
Yeah, like, hey, you want to go have dinner? Let's go. And Hob's like, it's 10 o'clock at night. I got to go to bed. And I was like, nah, just right here. There's a restaurant right here. We'll just go right here. You know? So I get it. I understand. I do understand.
Yeah, it's a matter of, it's one of those, don't make a, you know, as you say, a temporary, you know, problem, you know. Don't have a permanent solution for it when it's going to change.
Yeah.
And it's going to change for everyone. And it's, I look at Sean and I think Sean does have some, you know, he got some demons, but everyone does. Mm-hmm. Everyone's got them, you know, and it's one of those things. What do you do to take care of those problems and become better for the next day? Yeah. And that's really what it should be about. And I think, you know, in his own way, I think Sean Strickland right there was trying to reach out to people and say, man, doesn't matter that I have money. Doesn't matter that I'm famous. I got those problems and I know you do, and it's going to be okay. And it is. It's going
to
be okay.
He's a good dude. I think he's got a big heart. He's everyone I've talked to loves him to death. That actually is near to him.
Yeah, that actually knows
that him. That actually knows him and is near to him. Like he seems like he's got a big heart. He's a special individual though too. He likes to be kind of be on his own. We've called him a couple times, try to get him on the podcast. I have his number. I've texted him. And no response. But then
wants to do it in person.
Yeah, you're gonna have to do it. And that's exactly what I got, was that he wants to do everything in person, which I understand. Yeah. There's more of a connection there. You know, that's
but it doesn't work for us.
It doesn't work for us. That's one of the things that would love to do more of, is trying to get more in person interviews with these guys. But he's definitely someone that I'd love to have on. And but I see exactly what people talk about when it comes to him, because he's a great fighter. You could tell he's got a big heart. He says some outlandish things. And, you know, I think he has high expectations for himself to be good. He just doesn't come across that way to the average person.
I think, you know, again, part of it is when you're honest with people, sometimes there's going to be people that really like your honesty and there's going to be some people that hate it. That's just the way people are. You're never going to make everybody happy. If you have that thought process, I can make everyone like me. I can make everybody happy. You're probably going to fail.
You're not going to make yourself happy.
Exactly. So It's just what it is.
Well, I wish him the best. I know he'll get through this. Like he's that guy. He's resilient enough, and I think he'll spend some time shooting guns. He'll spend some time punching people in the face. He'll spend some time probably racing his Tesla, and and that brings you that moment of freedom and relaxation and mental clarity. And so he'll get there.
And now,
well, we did have a little bit of a tweet put out by Nate Diaz. Shocking, because Nate doesn't seem to tweet that much. And Nate wants something out, man. He gets on that sucker, blah, 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 and he goes, and he did this whole thing about, the contracts of the UFC and that, what he wanted to fight at, I guess it's 306, will be the Sphere. It would be a perfect time for that trilogy fight with Conor McGregor. But Dana kind of put a big old kibosh on that situation. And Conor came out saying that he wanted that. Wanted to get into the Sphere with Nate Diaz. Cold water.
Well, we talked to on the show earlier this week, and we said exactly what most fighters are thinking. They just don't say because they don't want to say it to Dana White and piss him off. Is that you need something that motivates you. And the guys that motivate him right now are Michael Chandler and Nate Diaz. He wants that trilogy fight, and he wants it at the Sphere. Now, whether that happens or not, who knows? I mean, Nate Diaz being Hispanic, I mean, it kind of makes sense, to lead with that. But that being said, more Nate was on the tweet talking about he was in the same position that Conor's in right now over contract negotiations. He's got two more fights left on his contract. Conor does. Nate Diaz went through this in his last two fights. They try to drag him out as long as they possibly could.
Could you not remember when he was tweeting mm-hmm. and saying, "Hey, give me an opponent. I just want an opponent. I'm sitting here." And he kept on putting time and time and time, all these things about, "I want an opponent." Couldn't get one.
And they finally gave him Khamzat, and then Khamzat missed weight by 10 pounds, correct? And then that moved that whole thing around. He ended up fighting Tony Ferguson, which I thought was a good matchup anyways. It was a better style matchup for Nate. But look, Nate came out and said in his tweet, "This was me for years before Conor even got here. They want you to die before you get out of these contracts. It's up to you to make something pop. No one going to help you but you. Free Conor. It's at Paddy's Day in this bitch." I was trying to figure out what the hell he was trying to say at the end. Look,
St. Paddy's
Day. Yeah, I know. Yeah. But fighters are going to have their thoughts on how these contracts are done. My personal experience is I went through the same thing before I left and went to Bellator. They drug me out for almost a year. There was a conversation about, "Are you going to resign? Are you going to resign? Are you going to resign?" They saw the writing on the wall that Coker was over at Bellator. I think they knew that I was probably looking to leave. They knew that I wanted to fight on my contract. They were trying to re-sign me right after the Benson fight. And they said, "Hey, we want to get you re-signed." I was like, let me get a win. And then, and then I lost. And that kind of put a fucking damper on it too, because then they came back, with the same numbers, no increase. And I was like, all right, well, at least it wasn't going down. But it's a process, man. They continue to come after you after two, three fights. If you have two or three fights left on your contract, they want to try to get you signed so you can't leave and go somewhere else. And it's not even so much about that they don't want you to leave to go somewhere else, is that they just don't want you utilizing what they've built up around you, especially early. So like I was coming off the Benson fight, Conor hasn't fought for a while, but Conor is just a different level of anything. And so they don't want him to run along and go and do a Manny Pacquiao fight in Riyadh or in Saudi Arabia. They don't want him to go and take another fight against Nate somewhere else, maybe in Saudi Arabia. They don't want all that to happen. They want to try to make this thing work inside the UFC contracts. That's a tough one, man. It really is a tough one, John.
It is a tough one, but it comes down to the fact that I understand why they don't want those fights to take place without them being the promoter of it. And you can sit there and say, did the UFC make Nate Diaz? Yeah, partially. But Nate Diaz made Nate Diaz. Now, I have to give some credit to the UFC for, being the platform that he did it on. But you got to, it's the fighter himself that makes that situation. And I've heard too many times people say, well, you know, you're only, you know, you're known because of the UFC or, you know, any. Okay, true. I'm not going to say it's not true, but they didn't teach me what to do. Mm-hmm. They didn't put in the time. They didn't do all the things that, you know, it took to get there. That's what each individual fighter is doing. And it comes a point where you look and you go, yeah, you could lose that one. Mm-hmm. How long do you stretch somebody out? How long before, no matter what has happened in the past where it was all good, you know, we're buddy buddies, to where all of a sudden, I don't care what's going to happen, you're no longer going to be buddies. People get pissed off. People get upset by being held back. People get upset mm-hmm. by being told, well, we'll come up with a date, and then nothing shows up. It comes to a point where you're going to lose. Let them go. I always look at it like, if someone doesn't want to be there, then don't be there. I don't want you.
I mean, you got to take into consideration, Nick and Nate Diaz both, they built their own brand. You got to think about how much Nick has contributed, not just to the sport, but Joe Rogan podcast all day, all night. He uses that on his intro still.
Yeah.
That was done in the center of the cage. I don't think people can wrap their head around that. He uses that voice to intro his podcast.
Every day.
Sometimes he films 2-3 times a day, for sure twice a day. And that's Joe Rogan podcast all day, all night. That's Nick Diaz. Yeah. Nate Diaz, I ain't scared. Like, don't be scared, homie. That's one. The other one is, I'm not surprised, motherfucker. Like, these are all sayings that people run around saying.
Yeah.
Kids run around saying them. I see kids on, actually grown adults now. I see them on social media using that, talking trash to people.
Oh, yeah. I ain't surprised, motherfucker.
Yeah, they.
And it's the way he did it. Exactly. That's what made it what it is.
Yeah. And
so it's the attitude behind it.
Those are things they built themselves. Sure, they did it on the UFC platform that had all these views. Okay. But if it was as easy to do what the Diaz brothers did, everyone would do it. But it's not. Like, who the fuck is that guy?
Yeah.
Do you know, like
Connor?
Yeah, that's Connor. Like, those are things that if it was easy for people to do, to come up with those sayings and get people attached to that.
That's the whole point. It's like, if I sit here and I go, I'm going to smash your boy. Mm-hmm. You know exactly who I'm talking about. No one told him to say it. It wasn't the company that came up with that, but they did give him the platform to put it out there that now it's synonymous.
Bring me your chicken. Right?
Yeah. You know? Bring me your chicken, boy.
Yeah, right? So... Look, the platform was given to them by the UFC. The UFC has built that platform up to the next level for all of these athletes to perform and to not just showcase their fighting, but to showcase their personality, showcase who they are. And that's what makes them stars. That's why when I've had this conversation so many times with Chael, Chael's like, when you get that microphone, don't say, yeah, whatever Dana wants, whatever Sean Shelby and Hunter and what they want. No, say what you want. Say, call out whoever, talk shit, do whatever it is, however you want to do it. Give your, what's that thing called, Dave, when they say WWE? Like give your whatever, cut a promo. Yeah. Like go out there and cut a promo. That's probably why I was never very good at this. I didn't even know what it was called. Go out there and cut a promo, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember when I got the mic the first time in the UFC. It was after, I think, after the Gerald Streetman fight. And I was basically like, oh, yeah, being super nice. And I go back, I'm like, God, what were you doing? So stupid. Dumb. Like, just call out who's next. And the only thing that got me the Hermes Franca fight was after he had beat my teammate, Rich Crunkleton, is I pointed at Dana White and I said, I want him next inside the cage because I was there with Rich cornering him. And I said, Dana, I want him next. And that's the only reason why I got that fight. Dana thrived off of that. And it wasn't until that moment that I realized that he was the one that loved the fighters. Like when they said that and they said this, And it didn't work for me when I was calling out when I wanted the Cerrone fight, but you know, it worked. It worked that day for the Hermes Franco fight. In this situation, I think these, I would love to see Nate and Connor do the third fight. People are like, oh, I don't care. Bullshit. If that shit was on, you guys would watch it. Tell me I'm wrong, John. I'd watch that shit.
Well, you got to go with both of their previous fights. You know, the first round of the Nate, you know, and Connor fight, the first one, look, Connor was putting it on him. You know, and it was a matter of, you know, Nate being as tough as he was and just hanging in there and his cardio and Connor getting tired and Connor weighing a little bit more and all these things. And then Connor wants to do it at the same weight to prove something. And the second fight, look, it was a war. Mm-hmm. You know, there's the ugly person standing behind both of those guys that, you know, both of them took a lot of damage in the fight. And there was moments of, is he breaking for both? And neither one did. Mm-hmm. And you look, you know, I remember people, you know, you're always going to get, you know, whoever, you know, saying, you know, you should have done this. I should have taken points from Connor for timidity for running. I was like, running, gaining space and time. Okay. Whatever you think, you know, but you know, people are crazy about, coming up with stuff, but those guys bring the best out of each other. And when you have those situations, you're always going to have people wanting to see it.
Well, Coker told me, he's like, look, if I could have you and Gilbert fight on every show, I would.
Sure.
And there's certain fighters, like I said, like guys that motivate you to be the best are the ones that get they bring the best out of you. And Gilbert was my guy. He was my nemesis, but a good friend of mine as well. Over the years, we were battled back and forth. We're friends, not friends. We're friends right now. I think we're friends again. So, but no, like it just certain guys bring that out of you. I think the two of them have so much respect for each other. They've spent plenty of time in the cage together. Nate coming to Connor's defense in this tweet, but then Connor also came out just yesterday or today talking about how he's locked down, that it's pretty much all systems are go. And I'm looking forward to this fight happening. It will be Michael Chandler sometime in the summer. I think it'll probably be sometime around International Fight Week is probably one that'll happen. I think that's the game plan right there. It makes sense. You have Michael Chandler, June 29th, against Conor McGregor, and then you look at him fighting maybe in the Sphere against Nate Diaz. I hope the UFC bites the bullet and just says, okay, look, let's bring Nate back for the fight. I don't know if they will. I think going off, they've been trying to prove that if you go off and lose in a boxing match without our consent or without us being involved, there's no room for you back here. But we're going to find out. We're going to find that out, though, to be honest. When Nate and when Masvidal fight June 1st, because Masvidal's still under contract with the UFC.
Yeah.
That's why their deal is that they have to fight on UFC Fight Pass.
Yes.
And so Nate is not under contract, but he's still going to be able to show the fight on UFC Fight Pass. Masvidal is out on loan. He can fight other places as long as whatever his fights are on UFC Fight Pass. So we're going to find out. I mean, if Nate ends up winning that fight, do they bring Masvidal back or do they just release him? And if that's the case, if Nate does win, does that mean now we bring you back because you're coming off of a win versus your loss to Jake Paul? I think a lot has to happen in that fight to see who, you know, if they end up bringing Nate back to fight Conor McGregor at the Sphere.
And now,
Josh, we are missing out on what could have been an incredible fight for the welterweight title at UFC 300 because the UFC did try to set up a match between the champion, Leon Edwards, and the lightweight champion, Islam Makhachev. But Makhachev did not take the fight, and it's based upon his Muslim religion and Ramadan. He wouldn't have been able to eat, drink, any of those things from sunrise to sunset. And a lot of people are thinking that, well, that's just an excuse. I think there's no way in the world you can train right and not eat, at least take in fluids.
Well, look, I had a couple messages just today. One of them was from Mohammed Murasir, but I wanted to say his name because he was the one that's saying, hey, would you guys please speak on this? We listen, my wife and I listen to you all the time, you and Big John. We love your show. Look, it's more than just a religion to them. This is their way of life. And so
sure.
I mean, like, a lot of the comments that I had read, someone was like, look, Christians fight during Christmas. Christians also can get up in the morning and eat. They don't, you know, they're
they
not,
can they can drink fluids throughout the day.
They're not fasting all day and then drink, you know, being able to eat or drink later in the evening, you know, when the sun goes down. Like this is, there's a difference. Your body is getting conditioned to be different. It's getting conditioned differently through that time. And it's not like as if it's doing it for a 3 or 4 day period, you know? So this is a long period of time that they're having to fast, basically a month long. Let's not start putting pressure on these fighters to do something they don't want. That being said, they understand what, like, guys like Islam, Habib, Umar, this is their way of life. They were raised this way. This is what's important to them. They live a very simple life. And I can't say it enough, is we have gotten so distracted, John, with my fucking iPhone, my iPad, my this, my that. Like we forgot how to go outside and go fishing. We forgot how to, you know, I see. And I talked to Habib when I was in Saudi Arabia through text. We were supposed to meet up and have lunch, but we were texting. I couldn't make it, but it was, I see them all the time. We talk all the time. They're riding dirt bikes up in the mountains. You know, they're out camping, you know, and they're not really camping. They're just out doing activities out in the mountains and making food and soup out in the hills. Like there's other things outside of fighting. And I think that's what makes them so special, is that they've geared their life at a young age around the sport. This is all they want to do. This is it. And they, all their activities are geared around, even their basketball is geared around their sport.
That's not basketball.
That's basketball. I mean,
that's wrestle ball.
Look, if we could stop getting these guys in the NBA to stop flopping around, we could actually see a real sport like that.
Could you imagine if that was done in the NBA? I want to see LeBron James get suplexed one time.
God, that guy got grazed with a finger across the forehead and a hair came out of place, whatever hair he's got left. And he just started throwing himself on the ground and flopping all over the place like he died.
But here's the thing that I don't think a lot of people understand, that with Ramadan, it's not just the food. Because I honestly think if it was just food, a fighter could possibly do it. I don't think it's truly possible unless you change your life to the point where you're going to become a vampire and just be doing all of your stuff in the middle of the night and sleeping through the day, because that works for Ramadan. You're going to have to change your entire structure of when you train, you know, and all these things during the day. Not being able to take in fluids is impossible if you're training hard. It's unhealthy. It's bad for you, you know, and to sit there and to think that, you know, someone's going to be able to train for a world title fight against the very best guy there is in that weight category, and you don't think he's at a disadvantage training during Ramadan? It's crazy.
I just see no reason to even consider it. I know you want it. I know that, hey, if you could push it for a couple more weeks, I'd be willing to do it. There's no doubt that...
Well, the fact that he asked the UFC to change the date, that's classic. Yeah, go on. It's like, I just changed the date 2 weeks. That's all I want. Look,
that's kind of that's his mentality right now. And after talking with him, he's like, look, I want to fight and be as active of a champion as I possibly can. This is just the one time of the year that it's not going to happen. And I think you have to respect that. I respect that. That's the one thing. And John, we continue to go back over this. And I had some problems, not problems. I had some personal problems with Habib and Islam and the guys all from my gym. Because we had Connor on here, you know, and when we had Connor on, it was this feeling of they felt betrayed. And I've had plenty of conversations.
And I was the one that betrayed you.
No, look, the conversation with him about it was that, look, a lot of things were said about my family, about my religion, about my wife. And, you know, and I expected you to be on my side. And I understand after it was put to me a little bit more that way and not looked at it as like a business. I understood exactly where he was coming from. But then as I see more and more of these interviews that he does talking about, you know, his wife, his family, his mother, his life, all the things that were important to him, money is not one of them. And I feel the same way about Islam. And the same thing with Umar, the same thing with Usman, the same thing with Abu Bakr, the same thing with all. Money is not a concern. Like, it, sure, don't get me wrong, they're enjoying it right now. They're enjoying the fact that they've been able to be successful because of all the hard work they put in. But all of those stuff runs through their religion and through and just feeling like they are doing God's work. And I can't knock them for that. Look, some people celebrate Jesus. Some people celebrate, you know, they have different gods. Okay. Everyone has their own
same
belief.
Same God, different names.
I feel very similar to that. But he is, all of them, they all feel very strongly about this. And I'm glad that he wasn't pushed or he didn't feel the need to make the change. And that he stuck by what he grew up believing in. And
it's his lifelong commitment.
Absolutely. Right. And I know that we're going to see him fight for a very long time. He's what, 30, 31 years old?
31.
Yeah, 31. He's got 3 or 4 more years of top level competition. I don't understand the rush to even fight Leon Edwards. I get stylistically it's a good matchup for him. But outside of that, I don't see what the rush is. Do you?
No, but I just looked and he said it's 30. He's now 32.
So okay, he's 32.
We made a mistake.
Yes, 32 years old.
No, I don't. I really look at it and it's like, there's been other guys. Bilal Muhammad's done the same thing. Bilal's actually, he took a fight during Ramadan. Mm-hmm. He said, man, one of the hardest things I've ever done. And I can understand why. And he said, he changed a lot of his, time for his training and everything and stuff. And you just look and you go, hey, if this is what your religion says, then I'm 100% behind you following what your religion says. And if you can't take the fight, you can't take the fight. People put too much emphasis on, because we'd all like to see it. Mm-hmm. We would. But you got to have...
That's for our own selfish reasons, though, John. That's for our own selfish reasons.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, but you got to have, your morals and you got to have your values. And
yeah,
he does. And that's why he didn't take it. And God bless him. I stand by him for it.
He also said, I'm upset that I missed the chance, to fight Leon. And one day I hope they'll call me again for the fight. I don't see why they wouldn't. I also think that this would have been something for, it's a special occasion. 300 is a special occasion to go ahead and put this fight on for 300. I don't think they'll be calling him anytime soon to make this fight happen again. I just don't. I think you're going to have Bilal versus Leon, and I think you're going to have Islam versus either Dustin or Justin or one of them in their next fights. They're going to fight in their own division. I think this was a special occasion to make it a big deal, and that opportunity has passed. Now, that doesn't mean if they both remain champions after, say, International Fight Week, maybe sometime around September, maybe they end up headlining the Sphere. You never know. That could be something as well. No,
neither one of them is Hispanic.
This is true. This is true. I'm happy that he was able to follow through with what he believes. I think we got to stop putting pressure on people for that. They're going to have their beliefs and they're going to follow through on them. And I'm happy for him in terms of him fighting later on. There's an opportunity there for that. We're going to see. Both got to keep winning because winning solves everything, right, John?
Doesn't it? Doesn't it always?